Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old saying that states you can't eat your cake and have it too. The obvious reason for this is that once you have eaten your cake, you no longer have your cake. It's gone. It's in your stomach. It's not even cake anymore. Now, many people through the years have mistakenly flipped this saying around. And you've probably heard people say, and you may have said it yourself, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But you can. Because if you have your cake, you can still eat your cake whenever you want to. What you can't do is eat your cake and then still have your cake. So if you want to have your cake, don't eat it. But if you eat your cake, know that you won't have it any longer. Unless, of course, you happen to be a poor widow living in a village in a land, a place called Zarephath, with your son, and you are visited by a prophet named Elijah. In that case, you can eat your cake and still have your cake. Our Old Testament reading today tells an amazing story of faith. A story of hope and a story of courage. It tells of a widow who had come to the end of her rope and the last of her hope. In her poverty, and probably also because of the severe drought in the land, she was down to her very last bit of flour and the last little portion of oil. Just enough to make a few small cakes of bread for herself and her son to eat one last meal, and then to wait to die. But the prophet Elijah came to her and asked her to instead bake for him first a cake of bread, and then to go and make something for herself and her son. Elijah informed her that she shouldn't be afraid to do that because God was going to bless her by never letting her jar of flour go empty or her jug of oil go dry. Until that day when he would then again send down his life-giving rains upon the earth. And so in faith and hope and in courage, this widow went and did what Elijah had commanded. And the scriptures state that she and her household ate for many days. And that, and I quote, the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, just as the Lord had promised her through his prophet Elijah. What would it take for you to give someone else, and a stranger no less, your last bit of food that you were saving for yourself, intending for yourself and your family? What is it that motivates some people, as in our gospel reading today, to go to God, to give Him not only the best of what they have, but the rest of what they have? What moves a person to go against all logic and all common sense and all good judgment to surrender his life or her life over into the hands of God and to go where God leads to be used for his purposes? What causes a person to do that? In a word, faith. And that's what this text is all about this morning. It's also what the gospel reading about the poor widow and her two small coins, the extent of what she had left in her life, what that text is all about this morning. These lessons are not about food and they're not about finances. They're about faith. They're about two widows who trusted in God to provide for them against all logic, all reason, and all good judgment. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord states these words, "Return to me, and I will return to you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it." 2 Corinthians 9, we read these words. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Matthew chapter 6, the words of Jesus. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Giving to God and honoring God and serving God are not about how much money you have, or about how gifted you are, or about the amount of free time in your schedule. They're about faith. Either you believe God loves you, or you don't. Either you trust in Him to provide for you, or you don't. And if you do believe and you do trust in God, then surrendering to Him shouldn't be an issue. Because we can't ever outgive God. He can bring an increase in our income or a decrease in our expenses. He can give us the health to keep working and the heart to keep going. God can provide and has promised to provide for those who seek and honor and give to Him first. You may have heard me say this before, and I apologize, but it's so apropos here. I can't tell you how many times throughout my 23 years of ministry, I've had members come to me when we talk about financial issues or stewardship issues who just tell me, "Pastor, I'm sorry, but there's just no way we can afford to tithe. Or I can't afford to give a certain amount to the church." Some of them say to me, "I can't afford to give anything." I empathize with their situations. I do. I get the bills thing. I get the paycheck to paycheck thing. I get the not sure how we're going to make it through the month thing. I mean, I'm a family man too. I have a house. I have old cars to pay. I have kids and cars. I get it. I do. But I don't accept any of those reasons for failing to give God His due. You see, I don't accept them because God doesn't accept them. That's why He gives us stories like we have today, the story of the widow of Zarephath and the widow and her two small coins in Jerusalem, to show us that giving to Him and obedience to Him are never about what you have in your wallet, but about what you have in your heart. It's not about the condition of your finances. It's about the condition of your faith. The widow of Zarephath wasn't afraid to give to Elijah the last bit of her food for her and her son, because Elijah told her that God would provide, and she believed it. And I'm telling you today that you don't have to be afraid to give God His due. fearing that you can't afford it. Because God has promised to provide for you. Like a loving father provides for his children, so our God, our Heavenly Father, even more so, provides for us. How can we know that, though? How can we be certain of that? By faith in what God has already done for us in his Son Jesus, giving his life upon the cross. I love the words of Romans 8, one of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture, but these words specifically. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Since God surrendered Jesus over to death and then raised him to life to forgive our sins and to purchase us for salvation, it is unthinkable, unbelievable, unreasonable, and simply unacceptable to believe that our loving, forgiving, sacrificing, serving, and gracious God would not provide for our daily needs also. You can't eat your cake and have it too. May be true of life according to the way the world works, but it is not true according to God. By his grace and his power, you can eat your cake and still have your cake. And you can give him your offering and your tithe and still have enough to live on. And you can die and still live. The widow of Zarephath is proof of that. The widow with her two small copper coins at the temple treasury is proof of that. The death and resurrection of Jesus is proof of that. So don't be afraid to give to God your first and your best, even your all. For he can turn your nothing into something and your something into everything. He has promised to provide for you. And he loves you with a father's love. Sacrificed his own son as the ultimate proof and act of that love. There is simply no way that he won't also provide for you and care for your needs too. That's what he does. That's who he is. Therefore, live out each day of your life in faith, not in fear. Knowing that you will be provided for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.